Good morning, everyone. My name's Dave. Welcome to Insights for Health, brought to you by The Healthy Habit at 451 St. Clair Street in Chatham. Our topic today is vitamin D, an essential nutrient. Research and studies provide overwhelming evidence that vitamin D is important to the body and good health. Studies also estimate that 70% of Canadians are deficient in vitamin D, including children 4 to 12 years old. Vitamin D is important in many ways. The research has shown that cells, tissues, and organs of the body all have vitamin D receptors for vital functions. To start with, vitamin D is necessary for disease prevention. Vitamin D regulates more than 2,000 genes that are directly responsible for disease prevention, and this includes 17 cancers. Vitamin D becomes a hormone in the body, assuming different forms, thereby working to balance other hormones, some of those being the adrenals and cortisol, estrogen, parathyroid, calcitonin, and more. Hormones control nearly all the processes in the body, coordinating functions like metabolism, growth, development, emotions, mood, sexual function, and even sleep. Vitamin D influences the gut to absorb dietary calcium and then regulates both calcium and phosphorus, which in turn greatly influences bone health, cardiovascular health, and urinary calcium reabsorption. Another role is the health and development of the unborn. Pregnant women with adequate vitamin D improves the child's later long-term health and quality of life with fewer incidents of lung, skin, and tooth issues. Vitamin D also influences the immune system, plays a role in our blood sugar, assists the brain and nervous system, is important for cardiovascular health, helps with mood and depression, our respiratory health, and more. The Canadian Cancer Society, in a Globe and Mail article, endorsed vitamin D for the prevention of cancers. They specifically named colorectal cancer, breast cancer, and prostate cancer in the article. Also, researchers at the Albert Einstein College of Medicine at Yeshiva University in New York City recommend sunshine for disease prevention. Why the recommendation of sunshine? Vitamin D is known as the sunshine vitamin. Vitamin D is created when ultraviolet rays from sun exposure mixes with cholesterol under the skin. We are unable to store vitamin D in great amounts. It has a 2-week half-life in the body, meaning that every 2 weeks, you have 50% less vitamin D in circulation. November, give or take, is the beginning of cold and flu season. Without supplementation, many are now statistically at a higher risk of cold and flu due to an inferior amount of circulating vitamin D. So what creates vitamin D deficiency in 70% of Canadians? Being overweight is a risk of deficiency. The higher the weight, the more vitamin D is required daily. Pregnant women are at risk of deficiency due to the high nutrient demands of the fetus. The elderly are typically deficient due to indoor living, and with age, the skin declines in its ability to produce vitamin D, along with the gut's decline in its ability to absorb nutrients. Others at risk would include anyone with an indoor lifestyle with no sun exposure, those who overuse sunscreens that block beneficial UV rays. For some, cholesterol-lowering drugs called statins reduce the cholesterol required to make vitamin D. Others have a fear of melanoma, and then there's a lack of awareness about the importance of vitamin D. There are three ways to acquire vitamin D. The first is exposure to the sun. Second is foods and beverages. The third is supplementation. In regards to the lack of sun exposure, here in Southwest Ontario, we live above the 40th parallel. Therefore, exposure to the sun's intensity for vitamin D is only effective from May through September. April and October can be effective, but usually we're covered up in those months. So what is safe sun exposure? Experts recommend starting with 10 to 20 minutes per day of exposure, but that can vary depending on the pigmentation of your skin, whether a person is fair-skinned or dark-skinned. Never allow yourself to burn. As you tan and darken, then you can spend more time in the sun. When sun exposure is discussed, the concern about melanoma is raised. There are those who are afraid of the sun. This can possibly be due to misinformation. There are two ultraviolet rays to consider. There's an ultraviolet A and an ultraviolet B. Ultraviolet A rays are responsible for skin damage, aging, and wrinkles, whereas ultraviolet B rays create vitamin D and actually protect the skin from melanoma. In 2005, the BBC reported a study that concluded that more sunshine helps melanoma patients, rendering their tumors less aggressive. So then how do we manage these UV rays? UVB rays are strongest between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. Limit your exposure, and again, don't burn. Get the exposure, then cover up with either a natural sunscreen or clothing. An interesting statistic as a side note is a 40% reduction in melanoma occurrences when omega-3 is combined with vitamin D. What about the winter months when sun exposure isn't possible? If you prefer sun exposure and you're unable to go south, then tanning beds are recommended. Tanning beds use the UVB rays that produce vitamin D. Note, ultraviolet B rays, though safer than UVA rays, can burn exposed skin. Moderation is the key. Don't burn. Beware of sunscreens. They are both good and bad. They do limit our exposure, but on the other hand, they can be harmful. An organization called the Environmental Working Group tested 1,606 different sunscreens and found 964, or 60%, were inadequate or even toxic, containing carcinogens. Some would block the UVB rays that were necessary for vitamin D, but then not block the more harmful UVA rays. So do some research before selecting a sunscreen. Natural sunscreens will contain either titanium dioxide or zinc oxide. Another potential reason for vitamin D deficiency is the use of cholesterol medication. Statin drugs will lower cholesterol, thereby restricting your ability to produce several hormones along with vitamin D. There are several natural ways to manage cholesterol without the side effects of statin drugs. Another source of vitamin D is our foods and beverages. Some mushrooms, dark leafy greens, eggs, fish, and cheeses have vitamin D, but in very low amounts, not enough for a recommended daily amount. Dietary sources are helpful but will not provide the daily recommendations. According to the American Journal of Medicine, drinking milk fortified with D is helpful but inadequate. Cod liver oil, on the other hand, is approximately 1,300 IUs, or international units, of D per tablespoon. The third method is to obtain vitamin D supplements. Supplements compensate for our low dietary intake and lack of sun exposure. Experts at the Harvard Medical School stated that vitamin D supplements are the key to achieving vitamin D adequacy. They further stated that even a low-calorie diet can deliver all the vitamins and minerals you need, with one exception, vitamin D. There is also the question of whether vitamin D2 or vitamin D3 is best. D2 is plant-sourced, and D3 is what our bodies naturally produce. D3 supplements will be animal-sourced. What is a recommended daily amount? Health Canada recommends 600 IUs, or 600 international units, per day up to age 70, and 800 IUs per day after age 70. The Canadian Cancer Society recommend 1,100 IUs per day for prevention. Osteoporosis Canada recommend up to 2,000 IUs per day for adequate bone health. Researchers from the University of Toronto recommend 4,000 IUs per day as a minimum due to our northern latitude. The Vitamin D Council also recommends 4,000 IUs per day for adequate blood levels. Dr. Zoltan Rona, the author of Vitamin D, the Sunshine Vitamin, prescribes 10,000 IUs per day to his patients. The research I read during the pandemic was 5,000 IUs per day to be effective against SARS-CoV-2. The Vitamin D Council website reports that Dr. Anthony Fauci, America's infectious disease expert, personally takes 6,000 IUs per day to reduce his risk of COVID. An Israeli population-based study in 2020 of 7,807 individuals found that people with adequate vitamin D levels were 50% less likely to be infected with COVID-19 and 95% less likely to be hospitalized. Confused with that list of recommendations? Don't be. What is your goal for vitamin D? You may require some trial and error to find the optimum level individually. Experiment with different doses and observe how you feel. An individual's metabolism and family genetics may be factors, but it would seem that 4,000 to 6,000 IUs would be a recommended daily amount. So how much is too much? Raising the question about vitamin D toxicity. At 10,000 IUs per day, Dr. Rona has never once had a case of vitamin D toxicity in his 30-year career. Research from the University of Toronto says that toxicity would occur after many weeks at 40,000 IUs per day. There are some chronic diseases where 50,000 IUs are prescribed as a daily treatment. A study from the Johns Hopkins University used an extreme amount of 150,000 IUs up to 600,000 IUs per day. Some in this study showed toxic symptoms between 2 and 18 months. Others experienced relief from arthritis. There were no deaths. All participants showed varying levels of kidney damage. The best way to know if your choice and dosage of vitamin D is adequate is to request a blood test. There are two options regarding blood testing, one being more effective than the other. The more accurate test is the 25-hydroxyvitamin D test. At the same time, request a test for ionized calcium levels. Calcium levels are important for kidney protection. So there's a broad range of recommendations when it comes to vitamin D dosage, depending on the article. At The Healthy Habit, we will quote the science that we know, then the customer will make an informed decision relative to their comfort zone. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we return, we'll talk more about specific illnesses and diseases where vitamin D is known to be beneficial.